Do you agree with Kelly's comments that Nylander hasn't been showing enough effort? And then on the tail of that, is he going to slot in as the third line center going forward?
Well, that's going to be an interesting question. I mean, he's an option for them for sure. I mean, you go with a more veteran type guy. I mean, Marleau hasn't been lightening up either. So, you know, I mean, you look at either experience or you look at skill, and both of them are reasonably skilled and both of them have played the position before. So it's not the end of the world. I mean, it's in the three hole. The problem will be when Corrali comes back, and I suspect he'll be back in game five. It's going to become not an easy matchup in the three hole. And it's been relatively good for the Leafs thus far, but I think, you know, Corrali will probably be back in game five, and that makes for an interesting matchup in the three hole. Not a good one for the Leafs, by the way. But, you know, you got Nylander, and I always am a little careful because they're still young guys. You know, when you're 21, 22 years of age and you're in an intense playoff series, it's sometimes it's not as easy as we make it out to be. There's experience factor goes a long way at playoff time.
So I'll ask you about the Calgary play in a second, but I'll go a little retro here. I feel like you're on the bench with Brian Murray during the Wings Blues playoff series when Bob Probert gets suspended for clocking Vincent Riendo in the face. I mean, we've long passed the time where a player will punch a goalie right in the jaw just for looking at him the wrong way, but Bob got suspended for that. What's your reaction when you see that or see on the bench a player do something and you're like, how many times would I warn that player not to lose control of his emotions?
Well, that's interesting. I didn't say a lot to Bob Probert. I was always nervous that he might clock me.
But, it could have happened. Sure.
I was more of a Bob Probert cheerleader, to be quite honest. So anyway, he was actually Bob Probert, and you know, I spent 5 years with him, and he was the consummate team man. Yeah, he had some issues. There's no denying that, but he was one of the great guys. And there was one thing he always thought first was team. There was not a teammate that didn't absolutely love this guy and knew that he'd do anything for them as far as helping them win. And, you know, he was a 30-goal scorer. A lot of people forget he was a 30-goal scorer. He was he was an NHL All-Star, if I'm not mistaken. So, anyway, you know what? This Kadri thing is really I said it last night, and I really believe this. I don't quite get how this escalated between him and DeBrusque. I saw a clip last year in their playoff series where Kadri cross-checked him in the upper body last year. So this started a year ago. And every time they went on the ice, every shift, it's like a focus on DeBrusque. And I'm thinking, Naz, let it go. You got bigger fish to fry. You got to play an important role in this team. It's more than just, you know, going out, you know, yeah, okay, there was the knee on knee, and yeah, it should have been a penalty. You know, the guys explained it. He didn't wide track. He didn't stick the knee. It was not, you don't like to play. I didn't like the play, but it's not a suspendable act. We've seen it time and time again. So I understand emotionally how you get really wound up, but you've got to calm down this time of year and say, okay, forget about DeBrusque. I'll pick my spot with DeBrusque as the series moves on. But I got to focus on my role here and how important a role I play in this team instead of getting obsessed with this guy who I mean, I happen to like DeBrusque. He's a heck of a player, but why the fascination with trying to go at each other at shift after shift? Come on, let it go. Deal with bigger fish.
And everybody would want Jake DeBrusque on their hockey team. The problem, Doug, is like you do it. Let's say there's 9 things you can do to engage physically. 8 of them are probably okay after the Marleau hit. Check him in the ribs. Slash him in the ankle. Drop your gloves and make him look like a chicken if he doesn't drop his gloves. But you do the one thing out of 9 that you cannot do, and that's a stick foul to the side of the head without him looking. That's the one thing you cannot do.
Right. And by the way, the Marleau hit was a good hit. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I had nothing wrong with the Marleau hit. And it was built up from chirping, from the muzzin, from the riot, from all the different incidents. But still, this is the time of year you gotta suck it up. You gotta go team first. That's what you gotta do. And the obsession with him is over the top for me. And I don't understand why somebody in the bench, like an assistant coach or somebody, didn't go, hey, Naz, we need you playing. We need you. We need your play more than we need chirping and I mean, physical play and battling and all the things he brings to the table versus obsession with a player, a young and a 22-year-old at that.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, I truly believe that in every series, there's a number of players that are holding a grudge against someone else on the opposing team. But, for example, in the Columbus Lightning game, we didn't get a scuffle or a skirmish until business was done, until the Lightning knew, hey, we can't come back because we don't want to hurt our team. And to your point about, hey, maybe you give Nylander, Matthews, Marner a little bit of a break because they are so young, Kadri's actions are really magnified because he's an older player. There, it's tough to make an excuse for him in any way.
Well, you know, it just, and it's happened so many times. Right. That's the frustrating part. And I, you know, you feel there's not a team in the league wouldn't love to have Nazem Kadri on their team. But, you know, Jake Muzzin getting hit by Jake DeBrusque, you don't think Jake Muzzin, the veteran that he is, will pick a spot and even the score down the road? That's what you have to do this time here. And I know it's easy for us in the media to step back and say, oh, this and all that, but I'm sorry, it's team first here. You've got to suck it up in certain situations today. I'm doing what's best for the team. And Babcock essentially said it, you know, like, hey, if somebody else makes a decision now, whether you play or not, not yourself. And that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Doug McLean, our guest.
I love Nazem Kadri as a player. I really do. And I haven't liked this season. I said it at the first of the year. I was worried where he was going to slot in and where he would be as an important guy in this team. And now when they need him most, you know, he's not there.
I always say every time something good happens for a business, a company, this is great news. It's probably not great news for everybody. And that's the one thing I thought of when they signed Tavares. I'm like, what great affirmation that he chooses the Leafs, signs the contract. It probably wasn't great news for Nazem Kadri's future as a Maple Leaf. Certainly as a top 6 forward. Of course it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, no, because anybody that's got skill, one of the first things you always talk about, I want to be a top 6 forward. And, you know, you get shuffled down the lineup and, his play was affected by it. Whether we want to believe it or if people want to buy it or not, it was affected by it. And the importance, your importance on the team has a lot to do with your confidence level and the way you perform. So
one more on the Leafs, and I know, Ashley, we want to talk about the Tampa series for sure and a couple of the West series. I do want to see a more engaged Austin Matthews. I thought his game was real good in game one. I thought he deserved a goal. I'm not trying to make him something he's not, Doug. He's 21 years old. I'm not trying to make him Peter Forsberg or Sergei Fedorov, but I want to see a little bit of a chippiness. Nick's talked about this. You've talked about it. I need to see a guy engaged. A guy as angry as Nick Foligno was when Steven Stamkos punched him yesterday. Maybe it's all physical expression. We all do that differently, but I want to see something tonight that says I'm aggressive and I want this really badly. I do.
Yeah, you've got to see the level of commitment change here. You really do. And he's a star and we all get that. But unfortunately, this time of year, and when you're that's where the game has changed now. The young guys are being rewarded and being paid, and they've got to produce. And if you don't produce, you take heat, bottom line. So that's why Nylander. Look, if Nylander was making $3 million a year, nobody would mention his name. But when you hold out and you get the big contract and you're 21 or 22, sorry, it happens. And, yeah, you got the Leafs have to see a lot more from Matthews tonight, a lot more. And I'm with you. I really liked his game one. Even then, I wanted to see a little more bite to his game. And that's the one thing. He's got a ton of skill. He's a big body. You want to see him. Like, I watched Mark Stone last night, and I'm telling you, I know he's 27 or 26, whatever he is. I get the fact he's more mature. He's older. He's been through it a little bit. There was nobody wanted it more than Mark Stone wanted last night. And then I look at Carlson, and I look and I think, just a minute. He's been on the ice for 14 of 16 goals
in the series.
I started it last night. I said, okay, I started this show off saying he's been on the ice for 6 of 7 going into last night's game. And I ended the show saying he's been on for 14 of 16. Like, are you kidding me?
Not good. Not great numbers. Not great numbers. And another thing that hasn't been great has been the way that Tampa has been performing against Columbus. I don't know if there's much of a chance for them to come all the way back in this series, but I would feel more confident in it had they been able to put together even two positive periods at a time. It just seems like their play isn't even close to where it needs to be if they're going to complete this comeback.
Well, it shows you playoff ready and not playoff ready, and you come out being down 2-0 and you get outshot 12-3 in Columbus. And I mean, they didn't touch the puck in the first period. Like, it was like in your face, smash mouth hockey, and Columbus brought it shift after shift. Josh Anderson, Foligno. I mean, it was shift after shift of punishment and in your face. And you know what was amazing about last night's game? Columbus played a mean, physical, playoff-style hockey game and never took one penalty. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay did not have one power play in that game last night. Now, you tell me that you can play hard, physical, mean hockey and still not take penalties. But they didn't show up last night for the first two periods because they're rocked. Their confidence level is shot, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, President's Trophy winning, this team, which had the best season you could ever possibly have, and they are frazzled. They couldn't make a pass. They can't skate. They can't shoot. Then a couple of good shifts in the third, their confidence came back, and they played a real good third period. But Bobrovsky shut the door. So now they're in tough. They're in tough. And I'll tell you what, I've had battles with Tortorella, but I'll tell you what, you've got to give him full marks. He and his coaching staff have got this team ready to play. And we all said they were contenders at the trade deadline. Every one of them said, hey, this team is now, you've got to consider Columbus a contender. Mm-hmm. Then they sort of scuffled along, but they are right now, today, with the changes they made and taking the gamble of keeping Bobrovsky and Panarin, you've got to say they're right there with the good teams in the league today. They're not the team at Christmas that was scuffling along. They're a pretty good hockey team right now.
Yeah, you mentioned John Tortorella. I think he deserves full marks for this. But on the other side of things, John Cooper, who's a candidate for Coach of the Year, what kind of factor can he play in this going forward? Or at this point, is it just up to the players to play with that desire that you mentioned?
The one thing players look for at this time of year is that your coach is on top of things. They see it. They know if you're getting your matchups. They know if you're adjusting to the game plan. They see it. And one of the most important things from a coaching perspective this time of year is that your coach, your players on the bench, in the game, in the meetings, between periods, know that you're on top of it and that you're making the adjustments. You heard it in Stamkos' voice after game one or game two that, hey, this team was really prepared for us. This team really pre-scouted us. This team was ready to take away and look at our tendencies. So it's really critical. And it's tough on Cooper, but you've got to make adjustments and you've got to figure this out. That's why they pay you big money now.